It's Tuesday evening, September 28th.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. It's one of the very few things I have a shot at, and I'm still 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting, that your truth would flow, that your spirit would flow. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to comment again about Sunday. I was totally affected. I mean, I know that God was totally in it, because I hadn't thought about praying. And then when I was there and I lay down on the floor and then you were praying with me, and I just got this prayer that I felt like I needed to pray. And as I said, you know, afterwards, I was going over it after I got up and was sitting on the bench. I was just trying to keep track of the things that had been given me. And when I got to the love of God, it's like I just started tearing up. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to pray anything, you know, because I was just impacted that much by it. And then when Barb brought what she brought, it was just obvious, you know. So I'm exhorting everyone to keep that in your spirit and look for that to become more. I was reading in John 4, you cannot believe how many times he talks about love, you know. And so with the things that were said that through Barb, I mean, gosh, it's like he was being so personal, you know. I want you to love me because I love you. I love you, and I want your love. I mean, that's powerful. That's intimate, you know. I mean, that's God wanting to have a very close relationship with each one of us, you know. So I think we should just pray that increases. Whenever you feel it, whenever we feel it, to pray together or whatever, whenever. I'm not going to say, got to do this every time or anything like that, but I'm going to keep praying about it, you know, because you stop and think about it, love trumps everything. Love trumps, if you can accept this in the right vein, love trumps truth. You can have all kinds of truth. You don't have love with it. You know? Now,
1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah, and because God does love us is why he gives us truth. You know? That's why he gives us truth, because he loves us. You know? And if it says, how many times does it say, God is love? It doesn't say anything else about him except God is spirit. That makes that very important, you know. And I mean, to me, that's even higher than, and I might, you got to be careful and listen to, I hope I can put it across right. The word is our life, it's our guide, it's our food, it's, and it gives us truth if the Holy Spirit reveals it. But love is above all that, I feel. I think in the end, it has to bring you to a total love of God. You know? And the Spirit, it'll take the Spirit to do that also. So that's where I'm coming from. Because I know I've mentioned it, you know, a few different times in the last year or two about love. Didn't really, just felt like there's something, but I didn't have anything about it. But when God brought that through Barb, that kind of put the exclamation mark on the end of the sentence or whatever, you know. So, that's all I got.
Well, I talked to Barb Sunday afternoon. She says, as soon as she walked in the church, she got hit with this. Hit's not the right word, but I don't know what else to use, you know. And when I walked in, came in after parking the car and I sat down here, I could see she was going through something, so I asked her if she's okay, and she said, yeah, so okay. I had no idea what was going on. And she was told me she was battling within herself because she didn't know if she should bring it or not, you know, and because she's never had anything like this before. So she wasn't sure if it was her or if it was God giving it to her, you know. So she, all through that church service, she was battling this, you know, and I could see that. So I just kind of left her be and, you know, didn't, you know. So we talked afterwards, and I said, you know, I said, you did the right thing, you know. I said, the next time you get something like that, don't be afraid to bring it. And I, she said, well, I didn't want to interrupt anybody. I said, you know what, when Joanne had this tongues and interpretation, she didn't care who she interrupted. She brought it.
That's right.
And that's what you've got to do. When God gives it to you, just bring it. You know. So
she wasn't interrupted anything, but
No. Well, see, that's going through her mind, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's true. And so maybe the way to say that is God can interrupt anybody.
Yeah.
We all stop and listen to God talk.
And that's why he kept her going through that whole hour, I think, because he wanted this brought. You know.
And I think it was good timing.
Yeah. You know. Susan has had a couple of experiences like this and has had exactly the same problem where she's and wrong. She's manifesting this word that she's been given, and people in the room can see this, and they're finally saying, what's going on with you? And she's like, well, you know, I've got this that I don't know, and there's all, and everybody always says, bring it. Mm-hmm. Bring it from God. I mean, we've kind of, in a way, it's one of the gifts that we haven't had a lot of fruits from in the last few years. And
that's why she was kind of wasn't sure she was where it was, you know, what to do with it.
When someone is being that careful to make sure it's not them, that excites me. There's just a lot of people that just want to jump out and say, I'm sure this is from God. And then I listen to it and I go, well, you're more sure than I am. Mm. And I've heard many of those.
Well, he orchestrated. He gave a prayer that prayed for love, that we would find a deeper love with him. And then he confirmed it at the end that that's what he wanted. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
As someone who is just receiving and not being involved in a whole lot of the gettings, I will make a comment that it occurred to me while this was all going on that I was reminded of how much we have been talking on this subject about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. And we you know, it came out, the word Lord was on us, that, hey, all this truth and all this humbleness and all this humility and all this comes a child and Jesus is a man. And then we got into, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 and ended with, and the greatest of all of this is love. And it just kind of punk, you know, and we kind of sat on that and it let that sit. And of course, our background, we're very cautious about that whole subject. Rightfully so. And so what I found interesting or encouraging in my spirit about what happened Sunday was the way it came about would not be misconstrued, would not lead you down the path that we were led down before. I mean, I walked away with what was being brought was, and I don't have kids, so this is why it struck me, but those of you who have children, you love your children, you raise your children, you nurture them, you encourage them, you guide them, and at the end of the day, you hope they love you. I have no kids, but boy, it sure sounded like exactly what God wants of me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you go, okay, and I'm going, and I'm getting this, and I don't have kids. So then the next thing is, how long and how often have you said you need to come to Christ, need to come to the Father, like little children? And you are to love Him like your Father, and know that He will love you as if you are His child, which you are. And then you think of the scripture that says, how is it as you who love your child, how much more would the Father who is perfect love you? And and these things are all kind of like going off of my brain, and I'm going, yep. So, on a little bit of a humorous note, Susan was struggling a little bit, and so I get home, and she goes, well, how was church? And I go, well, you know how we always say that it was maybe the best service in 10 years? Yeah, that wouldn't be true, but probably the best service in 2. And she goes, ah! I said, yes. Barb had an exhortation. Really? I said, yes. And Ken prayed, brought the opening prayer. Really? I said, yep. And she goes, I said, but I got it on tape, so we're good. But, yeah, it was good.
And, the focus was between him and you, or us and him. There wasn't anything that would lead you down that other path.
Exactly.
But in John, the thing is, it speaks a lot about loving one another. That gets mentioned a lot. Because he's saying, you can't love God and not love your brother. Or you can't say you love God and then hate your brother, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
It's you can't like, have aught against anyone and still expect to make it.
It just says, if you truly love God, you will love one another.
Yeah.
The second thing I want to bring up is there was a spirit in the church Sunday. And when it sounds strange, but when he's stumbling in the chair, and I reached over and grabbed him. I did not do that. I don't even know how I got to that pew. I really don't. And I thought about this a lot this week. How I got from there, and I don't even remember going over there. Something moved me over to the catch key. It wasn't me. Having thought about this, there's no way I can do that.
You're moving a whole lot faster than I've ever seen you move.
It wasn't my impression was all I saw was this blur, and then it was Glenn.
You made a comment at the top. I didn't know you could move that fast.
Yeah.
And I don't remember going over there. It's like the switch was off, and then I was there and it was on. That fast. It wasn't me. And so the Spirit of the Lord was there Sunday.
Because then I was thinking, if you lurch that fast, you should have been hurting. Something should have got pulled whatever.
Myself, I should have been falling on the ground.
Yeah, or had pulled something or wrenched muscle or something.
And I don't even know. I have no idea how I moved, which way I moved, or nothing. I have no memory of it. All I know is from here to there.
No. Well, you were fast.
No. Yeah, all right. It wasn't me. I'm saying it was the Spirit there Sunday for sure.
Glory.
I'll tell you what I saw Sunday. This was after the service. Kurt was telling us about a close friend of his that just went through some deliverance. Remember, your nephew went through deliverance and stuff. And he was telling us all about it. So we got out to Pizza Ranch, and he said, oh, there he is. And he was up at the salad bar. And so he went over and talked to the guy, and the guy had a couple of his friends with him. And, they're kind of different than what we normally would see. But, they weren't eyeballs or nothing, I don't know. And we were looking for a table, and there was a lot of people there on Sunday. And so there's a black, they were short-handed, but there's a black girl that was kind of digging during the dishes and whatever. And she says, here, you guys come and sit right in here. She says, it's for the overload. But she says, it'll be fine. So we did. And so we had it all to ourselves. And in come this guy and this black girl at the same time. Well, it so happens that Brittany kind of knew her a little bit. And the guy that had gotten the deliverance, he comes over there and he was just real, what's the word?
Meek?
Yeah, effervescent. Is there anything I can think of? But anyway, he was real excitable and stuff. And they're all talking about the Lord. And she comes in, and one of them, they kind of half knew her. He puts his arm around her. He says, have you been introduced to the Lord? I said, and the next thing I know, we're in the middle of this prayer meeting. It was a good one, too. The Lord's not done.
And we waste all our time figuring out how we're going to do this.
Yeah. And
don't kind of do nothing. Just wait on
that. I had a scripture passage that's been on my mind today. And it's in the 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, Paul spent three years in the deserts of Damascus being privately tutored. Okay? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you following me? Are you thinking what I'm thinking now? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. My question is, could he have done this differently? Could he?
Maybe not.
Well, not.
But I determined. For I determined. If he determined to do it a certain way, then he could have done it differently. That's what I'm saying. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay. So we've been listening to the scriptures for 20 years. And we've gained some real major truths. We have. The thing that Jesus is a man is a major truth. And this is life eternal. That they would know you, the only true God. And which puts him out of the only true God category. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Okay? How major is the truth that we have gained? Is it major that Jesus is a man?
For sure.
Everything about that revelation is a major, major truth. Everything about it. He's like we are. He was still flesh and bones after he had been resurrected. When we see him, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are major revelations. You know what? a pretty good understanding of that. Kurt is coming into it. That's major. You know what? Those people that were there would have never understood it.
But they probably would have willed.
But they can later.
Yeah.
It's like, how long did it take us?
Yeah. I was thinking about what, like the deliverance was going on, and they're alive and, feeling the Lord. And,
yeah.
But it's like, but they're going to have to eventually get the foundation of what all that's about.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what you're saying too.
Yeah.
That they're going to have to come into these truths,
but I've wondered,
for it to really last and take hold, I feel. Then they'll really be empowered.
But how many of these things did Paul already know? You know, we learned that most of our revelation of the humanity of Christ through Paul. How much did he learn in 3 years? He never expressed Christ as a deity.
No, because he identified with him and said, I want to die like he did.
Yeah.
Christ crucified. You know. That's what he related. You know, what is that one setting where he says that I would know him?
Oh, that's in
Philippians.
Philippians 3.
And share in his whatever. Yeah.
He's got too good of a memory.
Well, I'm totally relying on the Lord for anything to come out of me. remembering.
You know what? It's surprising. After so many years, the scriptures that you can learn. If that's basically all you do, you got them. And then if you got a good memory like Charlie's, you get them quicker. But anyway, I said that to say this. When new people come in, and we're going to see them, and Candy and I had a good talk today. Brittany is trusting the Lord in her situation. But if she was going to the doctor, if they took a good look at her heart and whatever else, she don't have that long. You know, a few years. And she said, well, if the Lord takes me, that's when he was supposed to take me. And I won't argue with that. I won't argue, we want to trust what the doctor says. I'm not one to necessarily trust what they say. And the second opinion does a number on me. Well, you better get a second opinion. And wait a minute. You tell me that all you got knows is what they'll play an opinion. You know? So I'm kind of like she is. Kind of like Joanne was. If God takes us at 50, that's probably that's what he wanted to do. I don't know if he could prolong. It is appointed in the men once to die. How do you, can you change that?
No.
I thought it was appointed in me on for me a long time ago. As it is, I my retirement has been paid for by a handful of people that are giving me going to the festival. Which, and I'm glad. Because it's not a work. And I've started, in the last few weeks, I have felt more of a zeal for the things of God that I have than I have felt in 10 years. I went through something on Sunday night, or Friday night, just as we were just getting ready to leave the Jerry Ranger, and Judy decides to come up and none of you guys saw the thing with her and Steve Paulson, but she was, Judy, you know how she is, and she was kind of beating on me and praying for me and rebuking all kinds of spirits and whatever, and that's who Judy is. And it didn't affect me as much as some other people. But it's okay. It doesn't, you know, I would have, I don't know for sure. But in that movie that we were in, Judy had a hard time. And she never was part of a connection. But which is, and which is a strange thing.
People can't let go of that thing, can they?
No. No, it's hard. It's a hard thing. The whole connection thing was hard, I believe, hard for me because of Dr. Matt. And I had so much confidence in him that I couldn't believe the thing that I was hearing. I thought, this got to be demonic. But it was true. And yet, his granddaughter said that when he died, that the Spirit of the Lord was on him. I know nothing other than that. I hope so. When I knew him, he was a sweetheart. When I first knew him, he would go without food. The word of God.
No, grace is immense.
Yeah.
Grace is immense. You don't, grace isn't, no, that's not too much. I mean, can't handle that, you know, except for the unpardonable sin. But you know, you try to find a limit of grace, and you can't find that limit.
Yeah, it's God has given us too many pictures like David, or others, and David should not be in the kingdom, and yet Jesus is going to be seated on his throne. He was a man after God's heart.
You know, I'm concerned.
No.
Yeah, I can see that there's walls. You bring up love, and any of our past acquaintances, and you're going to probably have walls. But God's bigger than all that, and He can bring it in a way that it'll open you up again. I think a lot of people are kind of afraid to open up to love because of what we went through, you know? But I'm not fearful at all anymore, because I know God knows the great love. And I know that's what I want. And I know I'll recognize the enemy. Well, I'm praying that I do. I feel that half of what he's brought us through in the Word prepares us to see the enemy at work, you know?
I believe that's right.
You know? I mean, you don't go through all of that and come out of it humble without learning the attributes of the enemy, you know?
No, that's right.
Well, it would go a long way to explaining the why us question.
Yeah.
Well, we went through a war.
Yeah.
It was a war.
Yeah, we did.
We had a war.
Still are. But, you know, but we had a major, like, battle. Mm-hmm. That whole thing was a huge battle. Mm-hmm. Huge. And it went on for years.
I think we are battle-tested.
Yeah. You know. I mean, seriously, I'm going to ask a direct question. I mean, Keith or anybody here, does that kind of, when you hear the love of God, and that, does that, do you kind of go?
No.
Okay, because of the, you know, because of what happened in the movie? You know?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Good. Good.
You know, I was deceived. I really was. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I had so much confidence in Doug Burnett. You know what I mean? And so what he was doing would not be evil. And went to a lot of the meetings and stuff out in Seattle. And should have had my, you know, some kind of senses working right, but they weren't.
Well, none of us did. Hardly. There probably were some, but for the most part, we were all in the same place, kind of. You know? We were all confident of the leadership. But,
you wanted a good man.
Yeah,
to start with.
Right. But I know that before before the angel of light got in there, I experienced the love of God like I had never known before. What love was. And it was like totally not me, because I just didn't have this thing where I could just look at it, certain ones and just love them. And they were nothing like I would normally be attracted to. You know what I mean?
Well,
my theory,
and at that point, it wasn't a connection either. It was just this love, you know.
My theory is that the Lord dumped out a bucket of love, barrel of love, and said, "Okay, folks, what you going to do with this?"
Yeah.
You know, and we, some good and some bad came of that.
Yeah.
I think that we were already experiencing it. As a church, prior to the convention.
Oh, definitely.
And we had a few things to learn that were nuts. And one of them was Simon and Mary Kitchen. And it was just crazy. You know, just it looked like a kind of a unusual habit, but you know, but it was there.
It was a little unusual.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that was for sure.
Oh, there was a early connection, powerful. They were, the two of them were gazing in each other's eyes for long. And,
yeah.
Well, I can remember in the very beginning, when it was being manifested, and this person came up and just sat down next to me, and it was like I knew I was experiencing the love of God, and they just had to confess this thing to me. You know, it was, that's kind of what, part of what was going on, you know, is God was kind of bringing conviction, and it was in the atmosphere of love, so that people could just, and And you know, to this day, I've never repeated it to anyone. You know, because it was just, it was sacred, you know. And so they, you know, it's like they wanted to be cleansed, and they did it that, you know. So, yeah, that was, I'll never forget that. That was, and that's the kind of the way it should be. If you ever share with someone, it should never really get repeated, you know, unless they say it's okay to share, you know, like mm-hmm. a testimony. But
well, like Charlie, I think in the beginning, God was there, and enough people were able to experience it to allow the enemy to come in and pervert it. Because if God hadn't been there, enough of people would have went, they've lost it. But, I mean, I recall my wife coming home, and I was working really hard. Well, I worked really hard a lot most of my life, but I was involved in something at work pretty deep, and there was a Wednesday night thing, and I didn't attend. I worked, and my wife came home and said, you need to be spending more time at church. And I said, well, why? And she said, things are happening. And so then I, you know, well, what do you mean things? And she said, you need to experience this. I can't tell you about this. So I said, okay, and made it Friday and went, oh, okay. And, but Sunday was, in my mind, God coming back to us and saying, okay, I love. And how are you going to be able to handle my love? And you have to, because I'm going to give it. And has your foundation been set? We've talked, you know, carefully about how the Lord has brought us and provided a foundation of Scripture so that when He moves again, we're not going to be so easily deceived. We're smart enough to know that we'll need God at every step of the way, where we weren't so confident that we needed God every step of the way in the past. But it's, like I said, everything that happened Sunday, and I, you know, and what went off for me, I won't say it was spiritually discerned, but I went, you know, this really fits with what I think we've been prepared for, being prepared for.
I was so impacted by it. He kept presenting, I want you to love me. I want your love for me. I mean, I've never felt God ever saying something like that, you know. I want your love. I love you. I want your love back.
That impacted me a lot, too.
Yeah, I've never heard anything put that way about love before from God, mm-hmm. you know. It was just so personal. You know?
And when you hear it,
it was almost like a plea, which God doesn't have to do, yeah. you know.
It was a plea.
Yeah.
A plea.
Yeah.
But when you hear that, you go, but of course this is what He would want. I mean, it's kind of like, but of course Jesus is a man. I mean, it was like, okay, He showed us this, and you go, well, there is no way it would be any other way. I mean, You're not going to earn his love. You're not going to be worthy of his love. You know, like eternal life, I mean, this is just that component. And he's...
I was talking to Jean some about it all, you know. And she said, well, how are we going to do that, you know? And I suppose that's a fair question. But it's got to be a work of him. It's got to be a work of him. The best we can do is make ourselves available
to
a flowing of
his love. In the past, that's the way I probably would have asked. How are we going to do this? See, that's, you got to take you out of that part of it. You know?
Sure.
Well, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to open
up. Make yourself available for it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know, because I've told you before, in certain aspects, I am so far from what love is, you know? But I know God's going to change that. I know he's going to change it. I can feel him doing little tiny things already, and I know he's going to change it, you know? It's one of those things that it starts making you a little more willing to die to yourself, you know, for his sake.
Well, isn't the first commandment, did it say it's the first commandment with a promise? Or how does it say that?
Love your God with all your heart and your mind and your body and your
soul.
Yeah, different, it's repeated several times and they have different elements, you know. But it's all those things. That one, you know. If it's a commandment, it is also a promise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's what it says. The first commandment was a promise.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible unless...
Yep.
Unless God...
Unless we let God do it. Which doesn't make sense.
I know, but
you know, because it doesn't sound like it, that we're fulfilling our part of it. If God is still the one doing it,
But you can stand by the pool and watch what's going on in there, or you can jump in the pool.
Yeah,
and you need to jump in the pool. You got to jump in the pool. I remember, you know, at the time of the move. I mean, people avoided mistakes by not jumping in the pool, but doggone, they should have jumped in the pool. They should have. Should have jumped. You know, don't stay away from this thing, even though it's dangerous and, you know, you can't trust your whatever. Don't stay away from this. What's going on? If you say love, oh, no, I don't want that. Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Do not sit on the edge and watch this thing. I remember feeling very strongly. And Corky, you were talking about having to work hard. I remember, you know, Steve Fay was working hard, and so he really missed out on what was going on because of his work. And he was highly critical of it, and I'm sure in retrospect he believes he was right. Well, I'll tell you, he was not right. He was wrong to be not getting in there. You gotta, you know, I don't know.
Well, he was a logical thinker.
Yeah, well, you know, with all 13 foster homes and whatever, I'm sure love is an issue. I mean, you know what?
Sure.
You know, it's a tender area, a weak point or whatever.
But we had a lot of things, like the dancing and the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to know love. Because your first feeling of love comes from your parents and mostly your mother. You know, that's your first experience with love. No, you're saying what Steve went through. I think, oh, what did I go? Yeah, okay. I can, that meant, you know, if you don't have that love from your mother to start with, you don't know, and you'll never know what love really is.
You did not stand on the sidelines and watch, though, Glenn. You, I remember, you were in it. You were in it. You did not, you weren't sitting critically assessing what was going on there. You were in it.
I was there, but I really wasn't in it.
No,
you can't argue with the man.
Well, I will argue with him. I know what Glenn was doing. He was in it.
I don't know what part you're talking about either right now. We're both probably talking about two different things. But,
well,
but irregardless, though, I mean, you know, when you look at my own experience, you know, and what I went through as a kid, you know, and the things I had to deal with, and you turn love off because you had to be hard, you know. And when that's all you've got to go on, that's what you develop. And that's what I was, you know. I didn't let people close because you couldn't trust them, you know. When I was in the foster home, I would be picked up. People would adopt me. They'd take me home for the weekend, bring me back. How many weekends did I go through that to the point where, okay, you know where this is going to end up? It's just, you turn hard, you know? And it's hard to get rid of that, even to this day. It's not easy to get over that. And that is part of my problem. Well, I'm confessing a lot here right now, but, you know?
I know.
Yeah. And you're right. And there's a difference, you know, the old adage about don't trust man because they'll let you down. And God's love's going to be different.
I'm not going to back away from my statement that you did not avoid.
Charlie, you're thinking us probably would, yeah. You know.
You were in it.
Well, let me go a little farther here. When I was in the sanitarium or in the foster, or, you know, I've been in so many different places, and, you know. But this was during the war, okay? And I was in this sanitarium with thousands of other kids. I don't know, it seemed like to me it was a thousand. There was a lot of them, you know. And it was run by women. And I tell you, I had a hatred for women from that day on, having spent time in there, because the way they treated you and what they did, you know. It was like being in, going in and being in, going in the army and being in the drill, getting in, you know. You know. I remember one time I was sitting at the table and they had spinach. And I did not like spinach. I sat there from noon to supper with that plate of spinach in front of me. That was my punishment for not eating it. You know, that's just an example of, you know, yeah, I got hard. I did. And it's hard to get over that to me. You know.
Yeah, I had an experience with a girl, and she just burnt me. And from then on, my thinking of women was changed. It was like I'm never going to trust one. If you're like that, you're not always the most respectful of them, you know. And that went on. I mean, that's, well, anyway. But, and then not having having a father in the house, but not having a father. And then my mom working, I was on my own kind of from about 11 or 12, and you get independent, and you just get, like you say, you just get kind of hardest certain things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I got to take care of me because nobody else is going to. And then that can get you down the road.
Well, and you don't let anybody get close to you either.
Right.